Welcome to the Closing Market Report. It's March 26, 2008. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services. He's in Oakland, Illinois. And later in this half hour, we'll discuss the cash grain market with Kay Whitlock of Terre Haute Grain in Terre Haute, Indiana. In today's agricultural news, ethanol is lowering the price of gas. Free trade agreements are not delivering promised gains to cattle producers. And where should the Forest Service go? USDA or the Department of Interior? We'll have more on these ag news stories later in the half hour, and we'll hear how Iowa's Republican Senator Charles Grassley sees the financial fallout of the stalled farm bill. You know, before we even start that story, it'll be about tighter payment limits. And then, just after the bottom of the hour, as we always do on a Wednesday, we'll talk with Drew Lerner of World Weather Incorporated out of Kansas City. It all happens on this edition of the Closing Market Report. The Closing Market Report is a production of WILL AM 580 Public Radio from the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois.
The Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at AgriGold.com or at 800-262-7333.
Taking a look at the numbers as they settled in Chicago on this Wednesday afternoon. Futures like this in the wheat pit, May contract down 34.5 cents at $10.33, July at $10.32.5, 36 lower. And July, the new crop at $9.95, down 33 for the day. May corn futures, 5.52 and a quarter, 7.5 cents higher. July up 8 at 5.65, September at 5.68, up 8 cents. And December futures at 5.68.5, the new crop December corn, 8.75 cents higher. December 2009 contract at $5.42 a bushel, up 3 cents. Soybeans, May contract, $13.52, 45 higher. July at 13.65.5, up 43.5, and August at 13.56, 40 cents higher. November soybeans, 5.5 cents higher at $12.44.5. May bean meal futures at 355.50, up 5.20 on the day. May bean oil trading at 57.75, town down 0.02. Live cattle futures at the Mercantile Exchange, April contract, $91.15, off a dollar on the afternoon. June futures at $90.05, down 80 cents. April feeders at 102.15, 95 lower. May futures at 104.55, down 157.5. April lean hogs at 57.42.5, down 47.5 cents. And the May futures at 68.17.5, a dollar lower. Outside markets, taking a look at the crude oil futures, May contract there at $105.80 a barrel. They're up $4.58 today. June contract at $105.05, up $4.22. The CRB index at 397.55, that's up 7.78. And the U.S. dollar at 71.52 is just about 0.75 lower on the afternoon. The Dow Jones Industrial Average, 15 minutes delayed at 12,426, is 106 points lower. And the gold futures are trading the nearby March contract at $949, up $14.40. April contract at $949.20, up $14.20 on the afternoon. Here's what the forecast looks like for the two-state region. From our own Mike Sulla, Mike says tonight, mostly cloudy skies in the north, scattered showers, elsewhere showers, widely scattered thunderstorms. Lows this evening from 30 in northwestern Illinois to 55 in the far southern parts of Indiana. Tomorrow, Mike says, in the north, mostly cloudy, some showers of rain mixed with snow. Elsewhere, cloudy, some showers, a few thunderstorms. Highs will range tomorrow from 36 in northern Indiana to 68 in the far south. Here's the extended forecast. Wet weather will return to the area with scattered showers, some isolated thunderstorms tapering to lingering showers by Friday. Another system will return precipitation by Sunday, and flooding is almost certain from southeastern Illinois across southern Indiana. Northern areas will receive some snow along with rain, but accumulations really aren't expected. And a warming trend is expected throughout much of the Midwest next week, but computer models have disagreed on the strength of that warm-up. And the American model, or global forecast system, interrupts the warm-up toward the end of next week with another storm that would bring accumulating snow to the northern parts of Illinois and Indiana.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Agricultural information is made possible with support from the Archer Daniels Midland Company. ADM, resourceful by nature.
On a Wednesday afternoon, we're joined by Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services out of Oakland, Illinois, to take a look at the agricultural commodity markets. Good afternoon to you, Paul.
Good afternoon, Todd. Always nice to talk to you on a bright, sunny day here in East Central Illinois.
Boy, I hope it stays that way for just a bit. I'm getting tired of gray skies, although rainfall's good at times. It would be nice to dry out, don't you think?
Well, my private meteorologist this morning at 4:45 a.m. when I turned the computer on was saying a very wet forecast for the Corn Belt and a wetter forecast for the winter wheat growing areas of the West. Basically, the winter wheat area the wetter forecast was the big reason why we did see the sell-off in the wheat market, both in Kansas City, Minneapolis, and, of course, the Chicago markets in Chicago. The corn market, of course, was wet forecast, but the main factor here is this continuation of export problems out of Argentina with the farmer strike of exporting commodity goods, and that gave the bean market and, of course, the corn market strength. And then the overall commodity tone was pretty strong in the crude oil, gold and silver, and a weak U.S. dollar.
The Argentinian situation has been an interesting one to follow, hasn't it?
Yeah, this President Cristina Fernandez said that the farmers need to share their wealth, this newfounded wealth, with the poor, and they've hiked export taxes as much as 35% to 45%. And similar increases in other corn and farm products. It reminds me of the old Perón era, and the farmers in Argentina don't like it. One person from the Argentine government says we're going to clear the highways and allow traffic to flow in a normal way. Bunge, a very large international grain company, basically declared force majeure, in which says that the export contracts out of Argentina aren't going to be honored because of the strike. And every, I think Bassey on his noon update or morning update said over 1 million metric tons of additional U.S. soybean exports are going out the door because of this major problem in South America.
And does that account for all of the upside potential we've seen in the marketplace?
Well, it's been one of the big factors this week. And that, plus the general feeling that 125, 130 million bushels of bean carryover isn't much, along with even more soybean acreage, and a big bin buster crop both in Argentina and Brazil, just doesn't seem like it's slowing this market down at this time.
Well, we've not too far away from the acreage report. What are you hearing on it?
Well, the whisper in the countryside is continuing to be the fertilizer. You know, there's still people mm-hmm. out there that like corn on corn and, are proud of it. A lot of people are going back to a 50-50 rotation, and there are some people that are possibly shifting the other way. The general feeling that's going to be very interesting, just see how many acres of additional production, example, buyout of some CRP acres, maybe some hay ground going in, pasture ground going into production, cotton acres being shrunk. Some people feel it'll be 3.5 million acres of additional acreage that were increased from the year before. It'll be interesting, but the real problem is that we're still going to be 4 to 6 million acres short of what demand is. And the arithmetic is real easy. We're going to see some pretty strong prices in corn and soybeans this year.
Strong prices as in at the level we're at, a higher level? What are your expectations?
Well, the first 2 hours in the office today is a concern from the farmer that these prices aren't going to go down. And, one factor is they do hear this conversation that we're not going to get enough corn acres. We do hear the word hog liquidation out in the countryside, livestock liquidation, but we still need this overwhelming demand for corn and to some extent soybean production, and it's one of the big things that's supporting this market. And it doesn't seem like getting extra corn acres from South America, even though Brazil and Argentina are going to have some tremendous corn crops and production, it just doesn't seem like the market is down. The other thing is, I think a lot of people were under the impression that we'd see a quick pop in the marketplace sometime last year, and we'd be trading at sub-$4 levels or something here based on these higher prices. It just isn't happening, and people are basically bracing themselves for pretty good prices, at least a year, year and a half down the road, you know, maybe 3 years.
It seems like this has turned into an awfully big battle between the export market, the livestock producer in the U.S., and the ethanol industry. Who loses eventually?
Well, my opinion is it should be a win-win situation. If we would just open up the CRP and get 4 to 6 million acres, we don't want to export acreage. We want everybody to prosper, the livestock industry, the ethanol industry, and the export industry, and, you know, it's there to take place. It's a shame we don't see government policy. 5 years ago or 10 years ago, we heard this word bipartisan ag policy. We had more unified, parties as far as agricultural policy is concerned in the U.S. Gee whiz, we just don't hear it. There's big fights. There's probably going to be an extension of the old ag program, the old farm bill. And it just isn't fun anymore to see this kind of thing. And, of course, the marketplace is basically not just calling, it's demanding more production here in the U.S.
So you're saying a good run across all of agriculture, at least several sectors, is predicated at this point on putting more acres in production, and the best way to do that is to bring some out of CRP?
Yeah, and of course, you know, Dan Bassey at the Outlook meeting at WILL said, you know, we do have new technology as far as triple stack corn is concerned, and, you know, we better see it or we've paid a lot of money for some new technology that's not performing. So, you know, the government's betting on weather, maybe to better increase acreage and production in the world. But the trouble is that they're very reluctant this year. When I call, for example, some reporters and lobbyists and things of that nature in Washington, the impression I get is it's next year, not this year, as far as really opening the door up for more production as far as acres from CRP.
Anything else to add before I let you go for the day?
Have a profitable day, Todd. It's gorgeous here in Oakland, at least for today.
All right. Thanks much, Paul.
Thank you.
Paul Cooley is with ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois. Speaking of the weather forecast, it looks like this. Mostly cloudy tonight across the two-state region, Illinois and Indiana. In the north, some scattered showers. Elsewhere, showers, widely scattered thunderstorms. Lows this evening from 30 in northwestern Illinois to 55 in the far southern parts of Indiana. We'll take a complete look at the agricultural weather forecast at the bottom of the hour.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Risk Management Commodities, with offices in Chalmers and Lafayette, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois. Risk Management Commodities provides commodities analysis and recommendations for business and agriculture throughout East Central Illinois and Western Indiana. 866-837-9027.
In today's agricultural news, consumers are saving a bit more at the pump thanks to the availability of ethanol. Brian Jennings, Executive Vice President of the American Coalition for Ethanol, says the reduced cost of gas is between 6 and 9 cents a gallon.
And this is from data that we've collected from two very reputable sources, Axis Petroleum and the Oil Price Information Service. They put out data to subscribers on a daily and weekly basis about prices. Ethanol is a real bargain today compared to gasoline, and it's finally coming through to the consumers at the pump that they're able to take advantage of that right now.
Jennings says the U.S. now has the capacity to produce 7.9 billion gallons of ethanol on an annual basis. Speaking of the high price of fuel prices, as you already have heard, are going up, and ethanol's been saving consumers a buck or two, but $3 gasoline and $4 diesel are still common. The Texas Ag Commissioner, Todd Staples, says that's impacting farmers and ranchers in his state and consumers across the nation.
It's more than just gas. You see, fertilizers are at historically high prices today. We have higher freight bills from railroads and other transportation companies.
Staples says the impact on individual farms can be severe. He says fertilizer prices are up 70% too since 2002, and energy inflation is the worst it's been since the 1970s. RCAF USA says trade data shows Congress needs to reconsider the implications of all future free trade agreements on the United States cattle and beef industries. RCAF National Membership Committee Chair Joe Gill says data presented at the group's recent convention reveals that the benefits promised to the cattle producers have not materialized. Actually, he says, FTAs have resulted in a deficit for the industry. The USDA has announced a big rural broadband loan. USDA Rural Development is providing some $267 million in loans to bring broadband services to 518 rural communities in 17 states. USDA says the partnership with Denver-based Open Range Communications will address the need to deploy wireless portable broadband connectivity to improve service in rural America. This commitment represents one of the largest public-private investments for broadband services by the federal government. USDA notes some of the residents of the communities served will have access to broadband and other technologies for the very first time. Finally today, USDA or DOI, where should the Forest Service go? Where does the U.S. Forest Services belong? That's the question the Government Accountability Office, the GAO, at the request of the House Appropriations Subcommittee, is trying to answer. The Forest Service is currently part of USDA, but some lawmakers believe it belongs with the National Park Service. The U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service and the Bureau of Land Management is a part of the Interior Department. The GAO will examine whether it makes sense to move the Forest Service. And that's a look at today's agricultural news. Coming up, the Farm Bill funding framework is coming together, but will it be acceptable? We'll have more with Chuck Grassley, Iowa Senator and Farm Bill conferee. Senator Chuck Grassley from Iowa says the Farm Bill discussions have continued in Washington, D.C., even while Congress has been in recess.
I'm aware of some members of the Senate and the House trying to come up with proposed funding allocations. My staff has briefed me on some of the proposals, and nothing that I've heard would be acceptable. Continuing to put forward allocations that expand programs outside the House and Senate bills, or cutting programs further than either of the two bills already did, give me much heartburn.
Grassley could be referring to an agreement recently reported between North Dakota Senator Kent Conrad and House Ag Chair Colin Peterson. Senator Conrad's website says negotiators are close to securing an agreement. While sources say that agreement would fund permanent disaster aid at a higher level, it's reported commodity programs would take a deeper cut than in the House or Senate bills, with savings taken from loan rates, target prices, and direct payments. Grassley says he's got other ways to save money and says he'll write Senate Ag Chairman Tom Harkin of Iowa and Deputy Ag Secretary Chuck Connor to encourage conversations on payment limitations, of course. He says that issue just hasn't been dealt with adequately in conference.
I want to see what sort of compromises can be worked out with the House so the whole thing isn't thrown overboard, even though I may not get exactly what I wanted. There's some farm organizations and farm think tanks that have come up with some alternatives to what Dorgan and I suggested. And since the administration is involved informally in these negotiations and the White House supports some sort of payment limitation or AGI, I'm trying to see where we can find common ground. And that's bringing Deputy Secretary Connor into it and Chairman Harkin, because he's chairman of the conference. I want to basically ask them to sit down and listen to these ideas that are being put forth that are somewhat different than the Grassley-Dorgan but still better than AGI.
The issue of payment limits, according to Grassley, has come up in each town meeting he's held in his state over the Easter break. He says folks in Iowa also are talking about conservation and asking if the new farm bill is coming.
My answer to the latter is that if we don't get a farm bill by April the 18th, then I think there's no doubt we got to continue the existing farm bill, because we can't leave so much doubt in farmers' minds what the program is for this crop year.
But many, including Grassley, have said an extension is not the best option. That's why Grassley said last week the conferees need to do everything they can to finish the bill by April.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Stuart Peterson. For over 20 years, Stuart Peterson has helped farmers manage both marketing opportunities and risks through their analysis, advice, and action. Stuart Peterson's team of experts and strategic consulting approach utilize the latest technology. Stuart Peterson, confidence like never before. More information is available at www.stuart-peterson.com.
It's a Wednesday afternoon. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from the University of Illinois in Urbana-Champaign. I'm Todd Gleason, your host. We're joined by Kate Whitlock of Terre Haute Grain in the southwestern part of Indiana to take a look at the cash grain market this afternoon. Hi, Kay.
Good afternoon to you, Todd.
Well, we've got a little sunshine here. How about there?
Well, it's getting a little cloudy right now, but we've had sun most of the day, and I think we're up in the low 60s, and man, this is heaven compared to what we've had. We had a lot of sleet yesterday.
It's been ugly, and I guess you're going to get more rainfall.
They're talking 1.5 to 3.5 inches maybe by the time the weekend is over with, and the ground is cold. We're just saturated here, and a lot of low flooding. We're not as bad as Missouri and Arkansas, but yeah, there's some, I've been hearing there's 10 to 15% acreage out there not committed yet. So, yeah, I mean, who knows what kind of acreage we're going to have when this is all said and done.
You'd be considered in the bottom third of the state of Illinois and certainly bottom part of Indiana. When would normal planting dates for corn be for you?
Normally, on some of the light sand ground, they've been known to plant early April, and we had some corn planted in April last year because we had a very warm month. Then we had the Easter freeze, but they're not anywhere near. They can't get in to put anhydrous down or anything or do any groundwork. So, yeah, it's probably going to be at least the middle of April before we can do much of anything around here, and there's usually always some in the ground by then.
And let's turn our attention to the grain markets. How's basis holding up?
Well, believe it or not, basis is bouncing back. Train values are probably, maybe a nickel better than they were a week ago, and you're seeing some of the processors snug up a little bit. And there's even a couple of overs over in Indiana at an ethanol plant. We're talking about corn here. So, yeah, the basis levels are getting a little bit better. And with the board coming back, everybody's kind of sighing some sighs of relief here. But they're still kicking themselves because they didn't sell $15 beans. So that seems to be the prime source of consternation around here among the farmers.
And sighs of relief. Are they going to be willing to sell $13 cash beans if they ever get back that far?
Well, we're $13 today, right on the nose. And, some of them will, but I think they still are going to hold out for $14. We'll just have to wait and see how many calls I get this afternoon, I guess.
Always optimistic. Tell me what your bids are for the day.
All right. Cash corn is $5.34. As I said, beans are $13 on the nose, and new crop wheat is $8.13 today, Todd.
Thanks much, Kay.
Thank you.
Kay Whitlock is with Terre Haute Grain out of Terre Haute, Indiana. In 2 minutes, we'll take a look at the agricultural weather. I'm Todd Gleason. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Urbana-Champaign.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 90 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
It's National Nougat Day. Nougat most likely originated in southern Europe, where it was largely associated with the Christmas season. By the way, today's nougat is nothing like the original, which was often made with sugar or honey, roasted nuts, and sometimes chopped candied fruit. On this day in agricultural history in 1753, Benjamin Thompson, who was also known as Count von Rumford, was born. Rumford was an American physician who invented the percolator, a pressure cooker, and a kitchen stove. He is frequently credited with creating the dessert Baked Alaska, as well as thermal underwear. In 1936, Fred Maytag died. Maytag was an American industrialist who began a farm implement business in Newton, Iowa. He made threshing machines, band cutters, and self-feeder attachments. By 1902, the company was the world's largest manufacturer of threshing machine feeders. But it was another machine that would prove the test of time. Maytag also built washing machines. The first was the 1907 Parsons Pastime. It was a hand-powered cypress wooden tub. In 1996, David Packard died. He was the founder, along with William Hewlett, of the Hewlett-Packard Company. Before they became famous for computers and printers, some of their early inventions were an automatic urinal flusher and a weight loss shock machine. And that's This Day in Agricultural History.
You're listening to the Closing Mark Report. I'm Todd Gleason. Joining us now on a Wednesday afternoon to take a look at the agricultural weather is Drew Lerner. He's the Senior Agricultural Meteorologist at World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. Good afternoon to you, Drew.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Tell me about the weather in the Midwest.
Well, I think we can probably just sum this up in about 5 seconds. It's going to be wet, or it is wet, and it will be. The forecast really doesn't change much from what it was a week ago when we talked. We still have a considerable amount of moisture headed for the Midwest. A lot of the flooding across the region has at least started to back off a bit, and it looks like conditions are getting a little bit better with some warmer temperatures, a little more sunshine out there, but you know, I wouldn't hold your breath for very long, as it does look like rain is on its way into the region. We'll find it occurring in a couple of waves, but the bottom line is from later tonight through most of the day, tomorrow, and into Friday, we'll have waves of precipitation moving through various parts of the Midwest, and we'll end up with some half to inch and a half rain amounts, and some locations maybe getting up closer to 2 inches. And this is just the first of two significant storm systems. The second event is still expected to arrive for late this weekend and continue into the first half of next week, Sunday through Tuesday in particular, and we'll probably see some more 1 to 2 inch rains with that event. So no opportunity here for the soil to firm up in a significant manner, at least not over this next full week. And the second week of the two-week outlook should trend a little bit warmer and a little bit drier, but we're going to need that entire second week to firm up the soil and get the excess moisture out of the way. So there will be no field work probably for 2 weeks across the Midwest. And that puts a lot of pressure on that mid-month period of time. Right now, the longer-range forecast does suggest that we will see better weather evolve during that period of time, with perhaps the wettest conditions shifting a little bit further to the north, allowing the southern parts of the Midwest to see some better field working conditions.
Tell me, meteorologically, about evaporative rates, temperatures, humidity, and maybe wind conditions. How fast can you dry a field out and firm up soils?
Well, I think the key is certainly you have to have the low relative humidity if you're, no matter what you do. If you have high humidity and you manage to get temperatures to heat up, or with all the moisture that's on the ground, you're going to end up stimulating showers and thunderstorms, and that's just going to feed right back into the moisture excess that you have already on the ground. So the best scenario is to have the lowest amount of relative humidity possible and to have quite a bit of wind across the region. If you can get that and get temperatures to be seasonable at least, which would be 50s and some 60s in the southern parts of the region, you could probably dry up the soil enough to get out and work the fields in about a week with aggressive field work in 10 days. But it would have to be perfect conditions, and I don't think we're going to see that right away.
I guess my fear at this point is that the windy season will pass us by before we start to get any real break in the weather where rainfall's not coming down.
I think you're exactly right. It might be different further to the north, but not in the heart of the Midwest. I think you're absolutely right. We will miss that opportunity. We will get into some drier weather, though. The jet stream is going to shift further to the north. We will see warmer temperatures, and we will eventually get out of the mess we're in. But it is going to take a little while, and I imagine by the time we get to mid-April, things will start looking a lot better.
Drew, we appreciate you being with us for the day.
All right, thank you, and have a good day.
You too. That's Drew Lerner. He's with World Weather Incorporated out of Kansas City. joins us here on a Wednesday afternoon during the closing market report. You have a good afternoon. Stay safe out there as you get that equipment ready to go. I'm Todd Gleason.